This audio presentation is about the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, also known as NAGPRA. Please follow along in the PowerPoint presentation that I've posted on the Blackboard site as I talk about these issues. NAGPRA was passed in part as a reaction to ARPA. A lot of Indians and Indian tribes were deeply offended by ARPA, which merely requires notification to Indian tribes if an excavation is going to affect archaeological sites that have religious or cultural importance to tribes. Also, tribes had been lobbying for many years to get the human remains in particular and grave goods associated with those remains repatriated to the tribes because they felt it was inappropriate, unethical, that archaeologists should be excavating the remains of their ancestors with impunity while normally they would not be able to excavate in cemeteries or historic cemeteries. And so it was perceived that there was a lack of equal protection under the law, because normally cemeteries are protected by local or state laws that prohibit their desecration. But Native American burials, which occurred in archaeological sites, were not similarly protected. And so NAGPRA was passed as, and I think is widely perceived to be, civil rights or human rights legislation that is designed to provide, at a minimum, equal protection under the law to the burials of Native Americans. One question that we often get is whether or not the Smithsonian Institution, which is our national museum, is covered by NAGPRA. And the answer is no. And that's significant because the Smithsonian is a very large repository of Native American remains and grave goods. And the reason it's not covered is that it's actually covered under a separate but similar law. And I don't know exactly the legislative history of that decision, but it may be that the Smithsonian lobbied for a separate law because they knew they wouldn't be able to comply with NAGPRA as it was written, simply because NAGPRA is, simply because the Smithsonian's collections are so large and so diverse that they needed more time, or they needed slightly different verbiage in the law, given the Smithsonian's unique status in the United States. NAGPRA is a modestly complicated law. It's, I would say, more complicated, certainly, than the Antiquities Act, and somewhat more complicated than ARPA. Maybe not as complicated as the National Historic Preservation Act, but it's about 17 pages long. The copy I have, you know, the PDF I have, is about 17 pages long. And it has a number of different provisions. It's been amended a few times. There are regulations that have been issued under the authority of NAGPRA. The main regulations are at Title 43, Part 10 of the Code of Federal Regulations. There are also some other regulations in other places in the Code of Federal Regulations that deal with other things like penalties and sentencing and stuff like that. Let me start out by basically explaining the idea of NAGPRA, which is really expressed in the title. You know, it's designed to protect the graves of American Indians and to arrange for the repatriation of human remains and other related cultural items that are in the possession of other institutions or organizations. Perhaps the simplest way to understand it is that the law can really be divided into two parts. There is a retrospective or backward-looking portion that applies to collections of archaeological materials that were already in hand in institutions or organizations on the date that the law became effective, which is November 16th, 1990. Then there's another portion that we can call the prospective portion, which covers how collections will be made in the future, that is to say, after the law is passed on November 16th, 1990. So there's a retrospective portion and a prospective portion. Now, when the law was passed, everybody got hysterical, let us say, or was concerned about the retrospective portion, because that needed to be complied with promptly, and a lot of organizations struggled desperately, and in many cases failed, to comply with the retrospective portion in a timely manner. But I think it goes without saying, or it should be obvious, let me say, that the prospective portion is the one that, in the long run, will have the greatest effect, because it'll be in force essentially forever, and it affects the actions of all archaeologists on a regular basis, extending indefinitely into the future. In general, the law requires that Native American cultural items, and we will define the term cultural items in a minute, the law requires that Native American cultural items be repatriated or transferred to either lineal descendants of the Indians involved, or to tribes whose land they are found on, or to culturally affiliated tribes. So it requires that Native American human remains and cultural items be transferred to Indians or Indian tribes. That part of the law, or those parts of the law, apply to federal agencies and to museums or other institutions receiving federal funds. On the other part of the equation is the tribes who can make claims for repatriation or ownership, and those include federally recognized American Indian tribes, as well as Native Alaskan corporations and villages, which are very similar legally to federally recognized Indian tribes. And it also applies to Native Hawaiian groups. As a note, just note that Native Hawaiian groups are not legally similar to other kinds of American, federally recognized American Indian tribes. However, the provisions of NAGPRA were extended to Native Hawaiian groups, one of which is actually named by name in the legislation itself. And in this respect, NAGPRA is very much like the National Historic Preservation Act, which includes among the indigenous groups eligible to participate in the law, federally recognized Indian tribes, Native Alaskan corporations and villages, and Native Hawaiian groups. Now, most of the law is about what they call NAGPRA cultural items. And NAGPRA cultural items are defined as human remains, funerary objects that are associated with the human remains, funerary objects that are not associated with human remains in the collections, sacred objects, and objects of cultural patrimony. I will now define these five types of cultural items. Please note that these five types of cultural items defined by NAGPRA are very likely to show up on a test, so you should pay attention. So, funerary objects are defined as objects that, as a part of the death rite or ceremony of a culture, are reasonably believed to have been placed with the individual human remains at the time of death or later. Associated funerary objects are ones that are in the same collection with the human remains that they were associated with, whereas unassociated funerary objects are funerary objects that are not related or contextually associated with human remains that are in the collection. The term human remains itself is pretty self-evident, except that we'll note that parts of human bodies that are naturally shed are not part of the definition of human remains under NAGPRA. And so that includes things like what? Fingernails, or fingernail clippings, hair, you know, which falls off. Now, if the hair is attached to a skull, then it's part of the human remains. But if you find a strand of hair in an archaeological site, it's not normally covered by NAGPRA. Also, the deciduous teeth of children, so baby teeth that fall out. You know, if you find a loose baby tooth, it's not covered by NAGPRA. Sacred objects, the fourth type of NAGPRA cultural item, means specific ceremonial objects which are needed by traditional Native American religious leaders for the practice of traditional Native American religions by their present-day adherents. And finally, items of cultural patrimony are objects having ongoing historical, traditional, or cultural importance central to the Native American group or culture itself, rather than property owned by an individual Native American, and which therefore cannot be alienated, appropriated, or conveyed by any individual, regardless of whether or not the individual is a member of an Indian tribe or Native Hawaiian organization. And the object should have been considered inalienable by the Native American group at the time that the object was separated from the group. What the hell does that mean? That means that these items of cultural patrimony are things that could never legally have been sold because they belonged to the tribe or the tribe's religious society or societies. And so, you know, so they were originally stolen or they were sold, but it was not, the sale itself was not legal at the time, in effect. So maybe things like Kachina dolls, you know, which were the, if you will, corporate property of the Puebloan sacred societies, that's sort of a classic example. And there are other examples out there. Now, let me just explain one other definition before we move on. The law refers in various places to tribal land. So, for example, if certain NAGPRA items come from tribal land, that's an important fact, and it affects who gets them back. Tribal land is defined as all the lands within the exterior boundaries of any Indian reservation. And that's important because there are a lot of private inholdings in Indian reservations that may not be, and sometimes are often are not, owned by Indians. But as long as they're within the exterior boundaries of the reservation, they're considered tribal lands for the purposes of NAGPRA. And so it's a fairly generous, let us say, definition of Indian lands. I'm going to conclude this particular audio file now just because I don't want it to get too big. And I'll pick up on the next file.